So download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you know, we're going to talk Springfield here. Trying to figure out today. I got to say, I've been doing this job for a couple months now, and I'm like, oh, I think I got it figured out. And today, I threw up my hands. Like, I have no concept of what is happening in Springfield in our government. But luckily, we bring someone in tonight that can help us sort of figure it out. Governor Rauner recently celebrated 6 months in office, actually the end of June. For this month's Chicago Magazine, longtime Springfield reporter Dave McKinney wrote a story about what the governor has or hasn't accomplished. It's sort of a grade. It's kind of like graded him in several different areas. McKinney spent years as the Chicago Sun-Times bureau chief in Springfield. He resigned the post during the gubernatorial campaign after a highly publicized falling out with the paper over issues with Governor Rauner. Essentially, Rauner didn't like McKinney's negative reporting and allegedly put pressure on the paper. The government has a relationship with top brass there to get McKinney fired. Very highly publicized story. You probably remember it. Dave McKinney is my guest tonight on the download. Dave, good to see you.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for having me.
So let's start right at the top. Let's just go right to Springfield today. A lot happening sort of surrounding this temporary budget. You've covered the Springfield for a long time. When you see what's happening now, is this kind of unprecedented?
Well, it's not unprecedented. It reminds me in a lot of ways of 2007. That's when we had the impasse between Blagojevich and Madigan. And it went, that year, the budget didn't really get finally resolved until the veto session in the fall of that year. And this has all the markings of a fight that's going to go into the fall. I mean, you just don't see any give from anybody. And today, you know, it was sort of like one of those classic Springfield days where it felt like a lot was going on, but then you step back and nothing really happened.
That's what I love about it. It really is the question of, you know, what did get accomplished today, because there were court orders early on. There was a temporary budget passed by the House, but we don't know if it's actually going to get signed and put. There's a lot going on. When you see this, do you miss Springfield? Do you wish you were down there covering something like this?
Well, what makes this fight so interesting is this clash of titans, Madigan and Rauner. And, you know, it's just, you know, Madigan has gone for so many years without having anybody seriously challenge his authority. I mean, Blagojevich tried. But Blagojevich had so many other problems, and Rauner comes at this with enormous resources at his disposal, and an ideology that is just completely opposite to what Madigan and the Democrats stand for. And you know, I miss being in the middle of that, because that is just great political theater. But you know, for my friends who are still there, I mean, this is a slog. I mean, these people, you know, they come in, and the legislators are no different. These guys just, they kind of dread being there too in these days when it's just full of acrimony and nothing is getting done.
Your article in Chicago Magazine for this month is about sort of the first 6 months of Rauner's governorship. Let's talk about that. What's interesting is that there's been a lot of ideology. There's been a lot of sort of, I'm going to change things. But really, when you look at it, not a lot has been done.
Well, that's true. And I think, you know, it's a bit of a moving target when you're trying to grade somebody before we see how this budget impasse gets resolved. It's a little difficult. It's a moving target. But I think, you know, just, you know, merely by looking at the calendar from January to June, this is a governor who has been stymied in just about every way, shape, and form. And, I spent a little time refreshing myself on, you know, governors going back to Jim Edgar and looking at kind of that honeymoon period, which is what Rauner was just coming out of, in theory. And and that's when, you know, new governors typically get a lot of things done. But in Rauner's case, you know, I would say that there were two kind of semi-notable accomplishments. One was signing a bill that helped pave the way for the Obama Library in Chicago. I mean, that had the feel of being a done deal anyway, but he helped, he signed a law that
is essentially saying you can't sue for parkland.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, that's the fine print there. So, I mean, the deal already had been done. And then the other thing he did was, he was left to kind of mop up the budget mess in fiscal 15 because of the expiration of the income tax increase. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's it.
Could make an argument that was even before he started, in the sense that he let it expire.
Right.
That was the action, was not doing anything and letting it expire.
Correct. And yeah. And even with the budget thing the 2015 budget thing, it was a bit of a dropped ball, because if you remember that, he had agreed to agreed with the Democrats to sweep some funds. And then after getting that in place, he goes out afterwards and makes, I think, $26 million in budget cuts to autistic kids and whatever, and then winds up, you know,
pull that back.
Aborting that, yeah.
And that seems to be a little bit of the way that, that the first 6 months have gone for him, where it seems like he puts something out, whether it be something like the cuts or even ideology, where he's talking about right-to-work zones, and then it kind of gets pulled back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the thing that I'm sort of left wondering is whether, you know, whether Rauner squandered an opportunity here. I mean, I know, you know, he's going into this in a way that no other governor has, you know, really had to deal with. Supermajorities in both the House and the Senate. That makes his job very difficult. But at the same time, you can go back in history and look at, you know, George Ryan in 1999, when he came in, there was a Democratic-led Senate, so he had to deal with Mike Madigan. And then go back to 91 with Jim Edgar when he came in. And in that case, he had, Democratic majorities to deal with in both the House and Senate. And, you know, I know Rauner likes to fashion himself a little bit after Edgar in that 91 General Assembly and budget stalemate. We had a stalemate then that went into the, you know, middle of July before they got it resolved. And what's interesting in that case was that Edgar wound up winning and drew respect from Madigan.
And we had Governor Edgar on talking about that. And he, you know, he sort of talked about learning how to deal with the people on the other side of the aisle and compromise and sort of dealing with the budget and putting ideology to the side. And it seems like that's not happening right now. Instead, what we're seeing is sort of personal attacks on both sides and ideology taking a lead. Even today with the pension reform, sort of the little nuggets on the side, they're like, oh yeah, and no collective bargaining, just thrown in on something that really doesn't have anything to do with pension reform.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is an antagonistic, though not surprising, move by Rauner. I mean, I was struck, you know, in doing the research on this magazine piece for Chicago Magazine, you know, I went back and I refreshed myself on Rauner's inaugural speech. And, you know, I was looking at some of the language in there. And, you know, one of the lines he used in that speech was talking about, as they all do, they want to work in a bipartisan fashion to get results. And, you know, when you zero in on a phrase like that, you look at his record so far and he's not gotten results. And he's certainly not accomplished anything on a bipartisan basis.
Talking with Dave McKinney, he's the former Sun-Times bureau chief in Springfield. He also wrote a piece for Chicago Magazine this month called Grading the Governor, sort of looking at the first 6 months of Governor Rauner. When we come back, we'll take a quick break. We'll talk more about the specifics in your piece, including the categories which go to shaking up Illinois, playing well with others, which is talked about, reforming pensions, which is a big part of the last couple days, supporting education, improving transparency, taking on unions, and, of course, the overall grade. When we come back, stay with us. Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Big show tonight. Bob Fioretti is going to be stopping by. We're going to talk to him about life outside of city council. Also later in the show, Toad the Wet Sprocket. Yeah. Not the Monty Python sketch, but the college rock band that really isn't a college rock band anymore. They're going to be in Aurora opening up for Smash Mouth tomorrow. So Glenn Phillips is going to join us, talk about their career. It's kind of fascinating looking into it. Just interesting story about that band from Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk with them coming up later in the show. Right now, my guest, Dave McKinney, former Springfield bureau chief for the Chicago Sun-Times. He wrote an article in Chicago Magazine called Grading the Governor, where he kind of looked at the first 6 months of Governor Rauner. You can't really talk about Governor Rauner's success without talking about his counterpart, Speaker Madigan. Speaker Madigan, of course, the Chicago Tribune has had editorials saying this is all his fault. This is his fault. He even mentioned a little bit about playing nice together. What role does the speaker have in sort of the first 6 months of the governor?
Well, I think he's the choke point, isn't he? I mean, he's the... It's been that way historically. Every governor that I've been around, and even who predates it, knows that you have to have a working relationship with Mike Madigan, because he can make life impossible for you if you want that. And that seems to be the course here that, you know, Rauner is on. And I don't know, you know, he had another, Madigan had another of his press conferences today, and you know, there've been a whole succession of them, probably five or six since we've, you know, been in this overtime phase. And it's really, it's fascinating to me that, you know, you could go entire spring sessions in Springfield and never have a sighting of the speaker. And what Rauner has succeeded in doing is he smoked Madigan out of his bunker at the Capitol a little bit.
And he did some interviews too.
Yeah.
Rick had him on here on a Sunday morning, which was surprising to me.
Because
I, for years, tried to get Speaker Madigan to come on a show or whatever I was working on, and no,
there's just no time for that. And what's interesting now, I think he recognizes that you know he's recognizing a little bit that his influence and his power and his authority are being challenged in a significant way, and I think that I do think every governor I've talked to about this situation, you know, even George Ryan, will tell you that you got to have a working relationship with Mike Madigan, and I just can't understand from Rauner's perspective, you know.
Didn't they run? I mean, essentially, even at the last couple months of the Quinn administration, there was this sort of idea that Mike Madigan is the problem. You know, we need someone to go down to Springfield and clean up Springfield because Speaker Madigan and the Democratic machine are the problem down there. And it seems like Governor Rauner has taken on that task. And this is sort of a, even though it may be slowing down the government and there's a lot at stake in terms of pay and a lot of ideology, it seems like his main goal is to try and break that machine.
Yeah, I think he's trying to do that, but at what cost, you know? And I think what's also interesting is that, you know, Madigan over his career has not exactly been a sympathetic figure. I mean, most anybody would agree that, you know, the hiring scandal at Metra, I mean, that was the most recent scandal afflicting him. You know, he's not a sympathetic figure, but yet, you know, you almost get that sense here that with him coming out and, you know, the way he's trying to position himself, I wouldn't call him yet a sympathetic figure, but, you know, he's certainly trying to be the
hero.
He's
definitely, definitely the sort of voice, I mean, at least it, sort of couching it that way, the voice of the working class, voice of the poor people. You know, a question about Mike Madigan, which is just interesting to me, is, you know, where is the line? You know, like, you talk about like sort of having to have a relationship with him. Does he have to have a relationship with the governor?
Well, yeah, he does. They both have to be compatible because, you know, as we saw in that Metra situation, Madigan has people spread throughout government. He has people who have jobs. He's got influence on contracts. He's got lots of irons in the fire. And it, you know, for the Madigan empire, it's better if you know they can at least strike a peace with a governor, and you know they're clearly on the defensive posture right now, and they're playing the chess game. But I guarantee you, most people will tell you that in Madigan you have the master political chess player, and so far I just have not seen Rauner draw blood from him.
I'm so happy to have you here, man, because I have so many questions about this stuff. The one that's a little bit off the track, just I just can't wrap my head around. Is this the first time in your time, Dave McKinney, from covering Springfield for years, that this has sort of been a move to change the ideology of the state, where you see Governor Rauner with sort of the idea that he keeps using the rhetoric, we need to be better for business, pro-business, which is, you know, and you're seeing some of the stuff that he's putting in the turnaround agenda where it's, you know, workers' compensation, essentially if someone gets hurt, it makes it harder for them to get money. Lawsuits. So if you have some worker problems, that it's harder to get money from the businesses. Saying these are things that are freeing collective bargaining, freeing up so businesses can be stronger here. That goes against sort of the grain of what Illinois and Democrats, you know, sort of stand for. Is this the first time we've seen something like this?
Well, I think as aggressive as Rauner is making it, I mean, it's the first time I kind of remember. I mean, there's a comparison I think you could make in 1995. You know, the Republicans had a massive year in 94, and they won they won both chambers of the legislature. That was the only 2-year period in the last 30 years where Madigan was knocked from power. They had the Senate, the House, and the governor's mansion, and in that case, you know, we saw like all this pent up Republican demand for tort reform, many of the same issues coming in play then as we're seeing now. And, you know, I guess what I'm sort of left with on this agenda of his, I mean, he's not moved anything yet. And I don't think that his message has been especially well tailored for independent voters. I mean, I don't know, you know, if you're just an average working stiff, you know, you don't have to be in a union. But if you look at this, all right, how is tort reform going to help me?
Yeah, right.
You know,
and it seems very geared towards, you keep saying pro business, and jobs is the I guess what that means, you know. But it always feels like, hey, you know, like almost what we're seeing in Wisconsin, like, hey, you know, what if they didn't get the weekends off? Mm-hmm. That would be, we'd be so much more productive.
Right.
But it doesn't seem to be taking into account that these are people.
Yeah. And you know, we haven't seen, you know, we've heard this platform from Rauner for 6 months now. And, you know, what's interesting, we have not seen a big bounce up in poll numbers for him. I mean, if anything, you know, his poll numbers are pretty comparable to what Quinn's were. And that's not very good.
And it's probably not getting better with the budget stuff. The one area that you do have that, I mean, you give an A to him on taking on unions, which we just talked about. I mean, because some will say, you know, the unions are entrenched enough that they sort of have a stranglehold on government and you can't really do anything. And he has sort of tried to break that up. The other one, too, which he got a favorable grade, was education. And you saw that he sort of line item, you know, said, I'm going to fund education, but I'm going to veto everything else. How's he done in the first 6 months on education?
Well, I mean, that to me, that move showed that he wasn't willing to let school children be, you know, tokens in this whole thing or pawns in this whole thing. I think that to me showed a level of sensitivity that, you know, we need to see more of.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I think had that been vetoed, you know, he would have faced a backlash from that. I think, you know, I know he likes, he said in different occasions that he likes to govern in crises because that's when people are willing to negotiate seriously. But I think when you're talking about schools not opening, that is a very devastating impact on a lot of Illinoisans' lives. And I don't think it's in anybody's interest to go down that path.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for him, he gets credit for that. I mean, I do give him credit for that.
So overall grade.
Well, I mean, in the piece there, I gave him a C+, and, you know, I think it's, again, it could be, you know, I think I'm sort of in a sweet spot here because Democratic friends have said I've gone too easy on him, and Republican friends have said, why'd you go so hard on him? So that's probably not a bad place to be. You know, when you think about, you know, he clearly has not accomplished much and is not deserving of an A or even a B based on those results. But at the same time, he's not a failure as a governor because, you know, he's not sunk to the depths of a Blagojevich. And, you know, he's also, you know, I think he's somewhere in the middle there. Mm-hmm. And if this guy is serious about, you know, going ahead and positioning himself for reelection or even something down the line beyond that, up, you know, higher, he's got to get results. He's got to have something to show for all of this. And he's got to be mindful of it in the way he picks these fights.
Well, we'll see. This is going to be it. I mean, we'll see in the next couple of weeks. But as you said, I mean, this played out to the veto session before with two Democrats, which, again, like, we could do a whole hour on that time. That was amazing with Blagojevich and Madigan.
Yeah.
Dave McKinney, former Springfield bureau chief for the Chicago Sun-Times, wrote a piece for Chicago Magazine. Pick it up. It's called Grading the Governor. Dave, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Justin.